It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Wednesday the 19th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. News came this month that Microsoft was ending support for its operating system Windows XP. Security patches, updates, and other important software maintenance for the 12-year-old program is set to expire on April 8th. And on we march through the endless update cycle towards progress. But wait. Windows XP is used by tons of cash machines and banks all over the country. Ruh-roh. Marketplace's David Weinberg takes a look.
Every week, Microsoft employees look for vulnerabilities in their software. When they find them, they create what's called a patch to fix it. After April 8th, Microsoft will stop offering patches for XP.
Therefore, anybody running an XP system could fall prey to someone who is trying to exercise one of those vulnerabilities.
Eugene Spafford teaches computer science at Purdue. He says XP users had more than 6 years to prepare for the end, but not everyone has been proactive. ATMs that haven't been updated could be hacked in a number of ways. They could be programmed to spit out cash, to keep cards, or other kinds of mischief, says Spafford. Several major banks, including J.P. Morgan, have agreed to pay Microsoft for extended customer service on the outdated software. The good news is that customers will likely not be absorbing those costs. Doug Johnson is with the American Bankers Association.
I don't see any pricing power in terms of trying to very directly pass off these costs to the consumer at the ATM.
I'm David Weinberg for Marketplace.
Another bit of Microsoft news, good news for users of the Office software suite. Sounds like new CEO Satya Nadella has a press conference scheduled next week. Topic is the company's new mobile-first, cloud-first strategy, and the rumor is that finally people who like to use Microsoft Word, Excel, and the rest will soon be able to do it officially on their Apple iPad. We'll keep you posted. In other big software announcements, yesterday Google unveiled its operating system for wearable tech like smartwatches. It's called Android Wear. Game changer?
I think this whole trend has got a big kick in the pants.
That's our pal and New York Times tech columnist Molly Wood. She says while Pebble and Samsung and other companies have broken the ice with hardware, the entrance of a big player in software is key.
If Android gets into the watch game, anybody who knows how to develop for Android could develop for these watches. You get much more potential in terms of capability and apps, I think, once you start to get the major players involved and the major ecosystems involved.
Wood says Android and maybe one day Apple operating systems for smartwatches also mean that people building the actual hardware can focus on that. And that might get smartwatches from weird to, well, wearable. As the search for Malaysia Airlines Flight 370 continues, there has been a lot of discussion about crowdsourcing, and a digital version of the old-fashioned search party can be a powerful tool. While investigators investigate Navy ships maneuver, lots of people have been scouring satellite images at their desks. That's with help from a research project and website called TomNod and a satellite imaging company called Digital Globe. Joining us to talk about this is Gideon Litchfield, news editor at Quartz. Thanks for talking with us.
Thank you very much.
How much ocean space are we talking about that people are looking at photos from?
Well, not very much. I mean, TomNod is boasting that it has 24,000 square kilometers of imagery, but the search area for the flight is now something like 7.7 million square kilometers. So it's really only a tiny fraction.
Well, and I guess something that's interesting here as well is that while a lot of people are looking for debris, their usefulness in some ways may actually be just identifying areas where there is no debris.
Which is useful. I mean, let's not discount that. I think the issue is you have a vast area of sea, and algorithms just are not good enough to reliably identify places where there is or is not debris, because it's very hard to tell what you're actually looking for and program an algorithm to do that.
It's nice to know that humans are still useful for a few things, I suppose.
For a few things, right. So it's been helpful after the Haiti earthquake in 2010. It's been used to search for downed aircraft before. I think what happens is it just takes a long time to collect satellite images for that area.
So there's like a little bit of a race here going on for gathering the imagery that people might comb through?
Yes. I mean, there are a couple of startups. One is called Planet Labs. The other is called Skybox. And their goal is to put up a network of really small satellites that can cover the Earth very quickly. And at the moment, they can't do it very fast, and they don't have high enough resolution, really, to help with something like a plane crash. But, you know, that's what we could be seeing in a few years, is like this very wide web of small satellites that actually provide very quick coverage.
You know, there's a cost benefit here, right? How much do you think it contributes to actually solving the problem, and how much do you think it contributes to sensationalization of the story and false hope?
To be frank, I think the story is already so sensationalized and is so hyper-covered by the media that I don't know if it makes that much of a difference. I think the benefits potentially are there. TomNod says that something like 3 million people have used their platform. That's actually a huge amount of processing power.
Yeah.
So I think in cases like disaster relief scenarios, maybe not so much plane crashes, where you actually need some information over a very large swathe of territory and people can look at it, that can be useful.
Gideon Litchfield is a news editor at Quartz. Gideon, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Before we go, UK resident Ed Joseph bought a PlayStation 3 from another guy who never delivered. The bank transfer was final, so Joseph copied and pasted the text of 22 Shakespeare plays into his phone. The resulting flood of text messages sent to the guy who hosed him topped 17,000 in number. Hamlet would be proud. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM. American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.